Hello, strangers. You're listening to the Strange Horizons Fiction Podcast. I am your host, Michael Ireland, and today's transmission is the Orchard Village Catalogue by Parker Peavey House. Originally published in the 13th of October 2025 issue of Strange Horizons, and is read by Michael Ireland. Parker is the author of the science fiction novels Where Futures End, The Echo Room, and Strange Exit. You can find more information about Parker on their website, parkerpeavyhouse.com. Michael Ireland is a director and showrunner of the Secret of St. Kilda audio drama and producer on numerous other audio fiction podcasts. You can find his socials at McAllister. Now settle in and let's begin. The Orchard Village Catalogue by Parker Peavey House. When I started with Optionality, they put me in a cramped condo with three other newish employees, one of whom insisted on assigning each roommate a different burner on the stove. I was the last to move in, so I got the smallest burner, which means I no longer make pasta. 6 months into the job, which mostly involved data coding for biometric solutions, I still hadn't found my own place to rent. Every apartment I could afford required a terrible commute, even if I left home at an ungodly hour to catch the train. But at lunch one day in Optionality's main cafeteria, I found a flyer for a nearby housing development called Orchard Village, 15 minutes away by shuttle. I didn't even take a tour of the place. I just opened the website and applied. The application required my employee badge number and salary, which made me think that Orchard Village was owned by Optionality, like the Willow Park condo community they built 10 years earlier, which includes office space and drugstores and, I think, a skate park. But when I asked my team leader about the odds of my application going through, he only said Optionality was looking for ways to better support healthy eating for its employees, which I guess means he assumed Orchard Village is an exclusive new lunchtime option. I went back and looked at the website. Lots of photos of young professionals walking down sidewalks dappled with shade, admiring wood and glass storefronts. A pop-up let me know that I would pay far below market price for rent with a matching payment coming from my employer. Also, that the whole development had been built using a sustainable technique involving mass timber construction, which I assumed more than made up for the destruction of whatever actual orchard they had raised to build the place. Within a week of applying, I got a catalogue in the mail, along with a card that said, "You've been selected." The other side of the card instructed me to choose my housing unit by entering the lot number on a page of Orchard Village's website. That was surprising. It hadn't occurred to me that I'd be making any kind of choice. When I had applied for Optionality's temporary employee housing, they'd only had one condo available. Before that, in college, I'd lived in a school-assigned apartment, where the plumbing had overflowed so regularly that we were loaned an industrial fan for the entire semester to combat the spread of mildew. So the catalogue was thrilling. I flipped through it the way I had the Target catalogues that came in the mail at Christmas time when I was a kid. Every housing unit in Orchard Valley might as well have been a Lego set, destined to appear under a pre-lit PVC blue spruce. I quickly realised that every single one of Orchard Valley's 840 different housing units had its own separate listing, four to a page. Each unit had several unique features spelled out in minuscule type. I would need at least a week to study it all to make an informed selection. I had until next morning at 8 a.m. Apparently, they were eager to get people moved in. Fine, I was eager to get out of my condo where my books were, according to my roommate, taking up so much space on the narrow built-ins that she had nowhere to display her 3D printed goose figurines. I skipped to the middle of the catalogue and scanned the one-bedroom units. I figured if I tried to select anything nicer, any of the multi-floor units towards the back of the catalogue, the manager would be annoyed, offended. But I didn't think I belonged in the cheapest apartments either, the tiny studios with the pocket-sized bathrooms. Those had to be for interns, or subcontractors. Around midnight, I finally decided on a unit with a Wi-Fi mesh system and some interesting crown moulding Doggy at the catalogue page slept like a kid on Christmas Eve. 8 a.m. on the dot. I entered the lot number. But when I checked the webpage again a couple of hours later, something had gone wrong. Selection failed, it said. Just above a button labelled More Info. It was suddenly painfully obvious to me that I wasn't the kind of employee who had earned a Wi-Fi mesh system. I was the kind who should plan to bring along my own router at move-in, and to forego crown molding, probably. I click on the More Info button, anticipating a polite scolding. I pop up declare that the move-in would be delayed until all prospective residents had made non-conflicting selections. My deskmate Veronica got a glimpse of my screen and got so excited that she almost knocked the paper calendar off the desk we shared. She brings a different desk calendar to work every day. Today's showed a summer-themed art print called Oh Boy. You're moving into Orchard Village? She asked. I should explain that Veronica and I were sharing a desk that day because we hadn't come in early enough to find individual workstations. Optionality had let go of half its office space to save on rent costs while everyone was opting for work from home. But now we're all required to be in office 5 days a week, which means we have to get creative with the floor plan until a new lease is negotiated. I very quickly closed the pop-up window. I didn't want Veronica knowing that I wasn't good enough for the crown molding that I didn't even really care about. Veronica didn't seem to have noticed the pop-up. Which unit did you select? She'd reached down to get something from her bag and now she set it down on a keyboard. The Orchard Village catalogue. The one I picked has all these surfaces made from the kitchen packaging waste. It looks kind of like marble, but weirder, like marble painted by Van Gogh. She showed me the listing, which I vaguely remembered skimming the night before. The swirl blue countertops had an eerie charm. It's nice to have counters like that if you can't afford art. Veronica was sitting cross-legged in a chair, having taken the side of the desk with the bank of drawers. I had all the legroom. I think I picked the wrong unit, I told her. She squinted at my screen, which still read selection failed. I could tell it made her nervous. She quickly pulled up the webpage on her own laptop and found the same message. Clicked the button, frowned at the pop-up. What do you think non-conflicting selection means? I asked her. She was already searching for the contact page on the website and then typing furiously into a chat window. I started to feel a little better. Veronica was the one who'd convinced the admin team to order breadsticks for everyone, not just the team leaders whenever we had Alfredo's brought in. She told them that too few breadsticks put her in a scarcity mindset that threatened her productivity and that a second bag of breadsticks would only cost $5.50. Apparently no one has moved into development yet, she finally said. Because they can't let anyone move in until the selection process is finished. We have to try again on Friday. 3 more days to study the catalogue. I was okay with that, mostly. More time to find a unit I liked. In fact, it was nice to flip through so many listings. Overwhelming, but in a good way. Like the moment I would dump an entire plastic bag's worth of Lego pieces onto the carpet on Christmas morning. I realised when I looked more closely at the listings I had read with blurry eyes the night before that the unit I'd first selected was located above Orchard Village's cafe. The apartment was probably supposed to be for the cafe manager, which would explain why my selection had failed. This time I used a map printer at the front of the catalogue to check the location of the listings I liked best. The apartments facing the wildflower trail at the west end of the village had electrochromic windows that went from transparent to tinted in late afternoon sunlight. The units that bordered the wetlands had carbon filter HVAC systems that removed odours from the air. No one could begrudge me electrochromic windows or carbon filters if I had to deal with blazing sunlight or marsh funk, surely. And if I chose the unit with the tiled entryway and a cherry blossom mosaic, I'll be justified in that the tile was made from recycled glass bottles. If I took the ground floor one bedroom closest to the shuttle stop, that only meant I was a responsible employee, eager to arrive at the office on time. Touchless faucets meant I was hygienic, a boon to society. A beverage centre in the kitchen wasn't that luxurious. In the end, I chose a unit with modular furniture, which seemed like the most junior employee coded option in the catalogue. The unit also had geothermal heating and cooling, but I decided in a city where the daily average temperature was a mild 72 degrees, the thermostat would really kick in anyway. And then, Friday morning, selection failed. Veronica got the same message. So did another fellow employee, Tori, who stood looking over my shoulder while a cough drop clattered around behind his teeth. He swears the menthol is going to make him live longer.
Which one did you choose? He asked.
The one with the modular furniture? The cough drop clattered raucously.
You don't want modular furniture. Someone's ass is going to sit where your head will end up later.
I had taken up station in the copy room that day, the only unclaimed corner of the office. Laptop balanced on the steadiest of paper trays. Tori nudged me aside so we could make a copy.
Besides, he said, that's way further into the catalogue than they want us to be. You need to stick closer to page 20.
I scoffed. Page 20? I don't think he heard me over the clack of paper copies hitting my laptop. Later, when I got home from work, I found my roommate stacking my books on top of the TV to make more space on the built-ins for the goose figurines. They're magnetic, she said. One goose had a tiny knife dangling from its beak. They're from that video game with the goose that chases people with knives. My books are going to fall. The TV was barely wide enough for the paperbacks. Then stack them on the floor, or do you think everyone is always supposed to accommodate you? When I found one of the other miniature knives in my toothbrush cup later that night, it felt like a vague threat. I decided Tori was right. Optionality had me in a cramped condo with carbon so thin it squeaked when I walked on it. They weren't going to let me rent an apartment with an indoor garden space or an aromatherapy shower. By 10 p.m. I had circled a listing that made more sense. Walls that hid drop-down tables and chairs, floors made of hempcrete, concrete mixed with hemp, eco-friendly, fire-resistant. By 10 a.m, selection failed.
You're still aiming too high,
Tori told me, his teeth cherry red. Which one did you pick? It came out aggressive. One of the team leaders had put up dividers to create makeshift cubicles, and people kept shimmying past my desk as they made their way through the divider maze and their thighs brushing my chair.
I picked a converted refrigerator truck, Tori said. Small, but really well insulated.
Selection failed though, right? I said smugly. He shattered the cough drop between his molars. After that, I tried a unit with rice straw floor coverings, couches made from end-of-life carpet. When that failed, I figured I might as well try a unit from the back of the catalogue instead. Pink quartz bathtub, meditation nook, biophilic entryway, human-centric lighting that supported circadian rhythms. Failed again. Have you seen Reddit? Veronica asked me while we camped on the floor of the supply closet with our laptops perched on boxes of printer toner. I had been staring wistfully at a desk calendar, which now showed a print of summer chairs. People are saying non-conflicting selection means if you choose the same unit as someone else, your selection fails. But that's ridiculous, I said, slapping my hand down on my makeshift cardboard desk. How are we supposed to coordinate our selections? Veronica looked at me with the disappointment she usually reserved for the protein shakes we got for dinner when we were required to work late. On Reddit, Micah said. She showed me the subreddit for Orchard Village, one of the moderators claimed to work for the Housing Development Management. It's not like we can give two different renters the same unit, she'd posted. Unfortunately, only around 80 people seemed to have discovered the page. They dutifully shared the number of the unit they planned to select next, but that left 760 question marks. Still, it was starting to make sense. Someone in management had created an overly complicated plan to divvy up the units, and all I had to do was choose a unit I was sure no one else would ever select. I didn't bother with any real work for the next few days. Just flagged the pages of my catalogue with sticky notes. Hurried home to mark it up. Avoided the house meet my roommates called to decide whether anyone was using more than their fair share of the toilet paper. Hardly slept at night. By Thursday morning, I had honed in on the most unsettling list in the whole catalogue. A unit no sane person would select. All glass interior walls, living room with artificial salmon run. Porous bedroom furniture for the sweaty or incontinent sleeper. Ceiling mural depicting the life cycle of a hornet moth. Pickleball simulator and holographic backhand coach. Did I like the idea of living in such a unit instead of, say, one with a saltwater swim spa? Obviously not. But I could hang curtains around the glass walls, paint the ceiling, dump the mechanical salmon into the stream that meandered past the development's more desirable units. Anyway, it didn't matter whether the unit was good or bad. I'd been promised my very own living space at Orchard Village, and I wasn't going to be cheated out of that. One final moment of doubt. When I opened my laptop bright and early at work, I realised I'd misplaced my catalogue. But not to worry, I'd memorised the unit number. Absolutely buzzing with anticipation of my impending victory, I entered the number into the website. Veronica opened the door to my office space for the day. The walk-in fridge that housed a case of sparkling water optionality considered an attractive employee perk. I kept a fleece-lined jacket at the office for just such an eventuality. "You heard about the theory, right?" she asked me. She had a bright-eyed look that day, as if she'd stepped out of the July Delight page of her desk calendar. "Yeah, read it, got it," I said. I picked a unit no one else would ever pick, literally the most bizarre one that I could find. Only a borderline psycho would choose the unit I just entered into the website. All trace of delight left Veronica's face. Her eyes widened to the size of blackberries and looked just as dark. No. The new theory. If my skin could have gone any colder in the walk-in fridge, it would have. What theory is that? "There is no Orchard Village," Veronica said. "It's all a corporate personality test." "A what?" I thought back to the catalogue listing. The phrase egg, larva, pupa went through my mind. Like a new Myers-Briggs or something? Veronica pressed a hand over her mouth as if to apologise for blurting out such bad news. Tori shouldered into the doorway. "HR wants to have a word with you," he said, putting a neon lemon cough drop at me and then sliding it between his teeth. "We're going to need to draw a sample of your blood. This from Ryan, who had his own desk, his own office, shelves that held his collection of Victorian bookends, no books in between, just employee manuals." "My blood?" I inched away from the woman standing near the door with a syringe in her hand. "Is this about the unit I selected? I swear I'm not on drugs, or you into moths?" Ryan gave me an incredulous look and held up an Orchard Village catalogue. My catalogue, with the list that circled in red ink. "I mean," I swallowed, "aren't they an important part of the biosphere?" Ryan signaled to the woman with the syringe. "We're going to analyse your blood to figure out what's going on with you." The woman took hold of my arm and tied an elastic band around it. I wondered if I should protest or whether it'd be better to prove I was a tractable employee. I really didn't want to get fired and lose my shared condo, since I had nowhere else to live. Ryan drummed his hands on his desktop in a quick little rhythm, as if in an attempt to lighten the mood. "Optionality is developing a new diagnostic tool. The consumer submits a blood sample and we send back a breakdown of their personality type. You know, so they can figure out if they're a judger or an eater or whatever." He frowned at the listing I'd circled in the catalogue. "I'm very interested to see your results." "Don't tense up," said the woman who was jabbing a needle into my arm. "So Orchard Village is really a personality test?" I asked Ryan. "Just some new metric optionality designed?" "What? No." Ryan waved a dismissive hand. "Optionality doesn't have anything to do with Orchard Village. The blood slash personality test is a new idea. Thought you'd be a good candidate for early testing when I found your weird catalogue next to the coffee machine this morning." I was very confused now. The website said optionality would contribute to my rent, hadn't it? It was at least very heavily implied that someone would pay half my rent. Ryan flipped through the catalogue, grimacing with what seemed to be secondhand embarrassment, bumbled to himself. "Sound oasis, floating shelves, alfresco experiences. Damn, I hadn't even seen that one. Listen, He let out a sigh that signaled his disgust. Your employer is under no obligation to make your dreams come true, you know. The blood drawing was starting to make me feel lightheaded, and I was still cold from sitting in the walk-in fridge. I just want to state, for the record, that a holographic pickleball coach is not my dream. All I mean is that you might want to keep your feet on the ground. This, he flipped a few more pages in the catalogue, is a fantasy. The elastic band released its hold on my arm. I stood, slowly, 5 milliliters of blood lighter. So Orchard Village doesn't exist? It's not real? Oh, hell if I know. I'm in a 3-story condo at Willow Park. When I got home that evening, I found my roommate had eaten my last frozen pizza. It was a hard day, she said. The website that sold the figurines she'd like had sold out of the goose that came with the soup ladle. You can't just buy a tiny soup ladle from someone who sells doll furniture? I asked, barely masking my exasperation. She was actually really sad, though. It feels like the website is telling me that I don't deserve the official ladle. The geese she already owned were lined up so nicely on the shelf. I don't know why she liked them so much. Well, you do deserve the official one. She thought for a moment, nodded. Well, it's my turn to vacuum. I always do the stairs. Right, but I mean, you deserve it anyway, if anyone does. I wondered if I was wrong to get her hopes up. It was anyone's guess whether Goosewood Ladle would ever be back in stock. She was in deep thought again. Does anyone? She spotted the Orchard Village catalogue sticking out of my work bag. Are you moving out? I couldn't answer either question. The next morning I took a ride share out past the turnoff for optionality. Way out past the tiny airport only small planes ever used. Tucked away like so many of the area's gems was a brand new development. Wood and glass buildings. Hummocks of wildflowers. I told myself it must be Orchard Village. Seeing her there, silent. Unoccupied. Good for nothing at the moment but absorbing sunlight. I remember something I'd seen on a walk I'd once taken along the top of the nearby reservoir. I'd spotted a single golden poppy along the edge of the trail, the first flower of the season. A lonely, unaccomplished bloom. On a whim, I'd gone to take a closer look and saw sprawling over the edge of the embankment 100 more golden flowers. At 8 a.m, I opened the Orchard Village webpage and entered the number of a unit I thought I might like to live in. Sun tunnel skylights, stained glass entryway window, flooring made from cherry wood reclaimed from the old orchard. I didn't expect to get it. At 10 a.m, I checked the webpage. Selection approved. Thank you for listening to the Strange Horizons Fiction Podcast. If you like this episode, consider leaving us a review on your podcast app of choice. And for the rest of this week's issue, please visit our website, which is strangehorizons.com. And you can also find links to our new podcast project, which is Strange Horizons at 25, celebrating 25 years of Strange Horizons. And whilst on the site, if you could please consider leaving us a donation on our donate page. Strange Horizons is an entirely volunteer-run organization, and we depend on the generosity of our community in order to keep bringing you new and diverse stories from around the world. Until next time, stay strange.